Apparently, I want to share with you one of the most beautiful truths in the entire Bible this morning. I think if you listen on purpose, I'll not be very humorous this morning. I think if you listen on purpose, you'll leave saying, bless God for the truth contained in the message. When the Israelites left the land of Egypt, they had many hundreds of miles to journey. Theirs was a long and difficult journey. They did not know where to go. They had no compass, such as travelers would have today. They had no guide to lead them from the land of Egypt to the land of promise. So God gave them something, marvelously and miraculously, as a guide. He called Moses aside and said, Moses, speak to my people. And I want to tell you, now listen carefully. Everyone, if you're boys and girls, take everything out of your hands in the front row. Listen to what I'm about to say this morning. This is a blessed truth. He said, Moses, you tell the people that I'm going to give them something that will lead them all the way from the land of Egypt. Now, if you know anything about the Middle East, you know it's a long ways from Egypt to the Promised Land. And much of it is desert and arid wilderness. So God said to Moses, tell the people that in the daytime, I'm going to put a cloud in front of them. And that cloud will guide them. It'll be a moving cloud. That cloud will move ahead of my people. Now, where that cloud goes is where you go. When that cloud stops, you stop. When the cloud takes off again, you follow. Your job is to follow that cloud all the time. Now, it's an amazing thing, I think. Boys, hey, boys. It's an amazing thing, I think, that God would lead them with a cloud. Now, there are people who have become people have become blinded because of the desert sun of the Middle East. And God was saying, not only is that cloud going to lead you, but that cloud will be a shade for you and provide cool for you as you journey. Now, the Lord said something else. I'm sure. Maybe Moses said, Lord, you can't see a cloud at night time. How about at night? And the Lord said, that cloud is going to change at night time to fire. Just as I give you a protecting shade in the daytime, I'm going to give you a warmth from a fire at night and light from that same fire at night. Consequently, the Israelites took off from Egypt. They had before them the cloud at the daytime, and turned to a pillar of fire at night. Any man could see it. Any of the over two and a half million Jews could get up in the morning time and see from any place in the camp that magnificent cloud that was to lead them, and that magnificent fire by night that was to lead them. They followed. From the land of Egypt, they followed. Then they came to the Red Sea. They came to the biggest battle of all. You recall, don't you, how that when they left the land of Egypt, the Egyptian armies pursued them. Pharaoh repented that he had let them go. And here come the Israelites from Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea. On one side is the huge Red Sea. On the other side, you can hear the noise of the prancing of horses and the rattling of chariot wheels as the armies of Egypt pursue. So you have the Red Sea on one side, the armies of Egypt on the other side, but thanks be to God, there's that cloud that tells them where to go. There's a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But wait a minute. Suddenly and miraculously, God moved the cloud. If they ever needed the cloud, it's now. If they ever needed a direction, here is the Red Sea. Here are the Egyptian armies. What shall we do? And suddenly, without warning, God moved the cloud. It's gone. What the Israelites didn't know is that God had taken that cloud from in front of them and put that cloud behind them. They thought God was gone. They thought they had no direction. Now they have no light before them. Now they have no cloud by day and no pillar of fire by night. They lost the way. Now the first thought is, what have we done to deserve this? We have lost our pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. What have we done to deserve this? Well, they have not sinned. God was not punishing them for some evil. I want to call to your attention several things. If you'll listen to this, it could well help you through college. It could help you face the battles you face. It could help you face the news that the doctor has told you that you have cancer. It could help you face the battles you face and the problem. You've lost your job. You don't know what you're going to do in this way. And it'll help you. Now, why? What has God done in the moving of that cloud from the front to the rear? There's several comments I want you to make, and I want to make, and that is this. Though they didn't know that God was as near as ever. Fellows, quickly now, have a seat, quickly. Just real quick, like, everybody get settled now. Find a preach, the folks need to hear. Everybody get settled. Bob, take care of me out there, please. That door's opening, folks are coming in with the dozens. But be sure this cared for. I've got some clues I want you to get, and I can't get it with folks moving around. Now listen carefully. God was as near as ever. He was as near as ever. He was not in the front where he had always been. They thought he was gone, though they did not feel it. And though they could not see the future, God was still there. Am I talking to someone this morning who can't see tomorrow? Am I talking to someone this morning who spiritually and emotionally and maybe physically, you can't see your hand before your eyes? Am I talking to someone who dreads to get up tomorrow morning? Am I talking to someone who goes to bed at night and says it's all a dream, and in the nighttime you sleep and you wake up in the morning hoping to find out that the illness the doctor said that you have, which is incurable, was all a dream after all, but you wake up tomorrow morning and find out the same burden is there and the same heartache is there, and you can't see tomorrow? You wonder which way to go, and it seems like the Lord has left you. The cloud is gone. The fire is gone. You don't know which way to go. Am I talking to someone this morning like that? Let me say something, ladies and gentlemen. If you're God's child and in the will of God, God is as near to you when you can't see tomorrow as he is when you can see tomorrow. There are times when we're on the mountaintop. There are times when the sun is bright and the air is thin. There are times when there's no fog and you can see miles and miles in the future. But there are times when you hold your hand before you spiritually and you wonder, what's there? What does tomorrow hold? I do not know. But let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. It may be that God just moved the cloud toward the back. And God is as much there. I often preach this. I often say you're not saved because you feel. People come down the aisle and say, well, I'm trusting Jesus, but I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. I recall the little lady in Texas who came to the aisle. She's a beautiful little lady. She's up in years. She came, she's a Catholic, and she wasn't saved, and she wouldn't get saved, but she loved hearing preach. She thought I was cute. And I am, sort of. And she thought I was cute back in those days. I was. And I was in my late 20s, and she came to hear me preach every Sunday. Very wealthy lady. And she wore furs and diamonds, but she came here. And so one Sunday night, I felt bad to go back to her. She asked her if she was saved. And she said, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. And I said, you don't have to feel it. All you got to do is trust the Savior. Now, I want to feel it. I want to feel it. I said, you don't have to feel it. I said, you're saved by faith. You don't have to feel it. You're saved because God says, trust me, and I'll save you. If you trust him, he has to save you. I want to feel it. I just want to feel it. And I said, okay, if I could guarantee you a feeling, would you go down the altar? Well, she said, you sort of scared me, but I'll do it if you'll guarantee it. And I said, baby, I'll guarantee it. And she looked at me and she said, well, it's sort of foolish, but I'll go. And so we came down the aisle, and I put my hand on her head. I've never done this before. I put my hand on her head, and I began to pray. And she said, this is the biggest thing I ever saw now in my life. I don't feel anything. She knelt down. She made the usual little sign, and she knelt down. And she did like this at the altar. I had my hand on her head. I said, dear God, I pray you'd help this lady to know that salvation is not by feeling, it's by faith. She said, I don't feel anything yet. And I said, you don't have to feel it if you will trust the Lord. So I got through praying. I said, now you pray. And she began to pray, and she said, this is silly. She said, dear Lord, I don't feel anything. This is silly. Dear Lord, I've asked him to have mercy on you and save your soul and forgive your sin. She said, he won't do any good. I don't feel any. I said, do it anyhow. She said, dear Lord, he said, do it. And I sort of said, but Lord, have mercy on my soul and forgive my sins. And Lord, I think I began to feel it just a little bit. Lord, save my soul. And then she got up and she touched her hand, this wealthy lady, and said, I need it now! I need it now! Her daughter back in the back jumped up and said, hallelujah, Mama just got saved. Now, I think that's wonderful, but did you know if she hadn't have felt it, if she had trusted Jesus, she'd still been saved? You're not saved because you feel something. You're saved like the fellow in the Pentecostal church, and they asked him if he's going to get saved. He said, yeah, but there's the ordeal. And now you don't have to, you have to go through the ordeal. If you know you're a sinner, and you know that you're lost, and you know that Jesus paid the penalty for sinners, and if you rely on him and believe in faith to take you to heaven when you die, because of the payment he made on Calvary, you'll go to heaven with your tingle or don't tingle, shout or don't shout, holler or don't holler, feel or don't feel it. You're saved because you put your trust in faith. But now what I'm trying to say is this, and that was my parenthesis. I'm trying to say the same thing's true after you get saved, too. The presence of God is not available according to how you feel. Somebody says, I just don't feel close to God today. I just don't feel God's presence today. God's presence is there, whether you feel it or not. Let me give you an example this morning. Boys and girls on the front, hey, kids in the second row, you sit up straight, and you put your hand in your lap, and don't you, listen, girl, look at me, don't you take your eye off me the rest of this sermon. All three of you. Now, Jack, if they misbehave, you hold them after the service and bring them to my office. And, all right. Now then, I'm saying there was a purpose in it. They could not understand it. But God was as near as ever. For example, it says in 1920, go therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and what? Lo, I'm with you always. That means if you go soul winning and don't feel the Lord's presence, he's still there. That means if you're out knocking on doors and winning someone to Christ and you just feel a little cold, he's still there. He said, if you'll go, I will be with you always. This morning I drove out the bus center for a little while and chitted and chatted with the bus folks and just sort of got in the way out there for a while this morning. And as they got the buses started and so forth, and I thought as I left those dear people out in the snow getting those buses started in zero weather this morning and driving all over picking up those kids. You know, if those people have frostbite in the nose and frostbite in the toe and they feel terrible while they go, did you know Jesus is on every bus that went out this morning? Why? Because they're obeying God. And this morning, may I say, maybe you say, I just feel like God's not with me anymore. He's with you if you're his child. You say, I can't see tomorrow. The cloud that was once there is gone. The light that was once there is gone. And the fire that was once there is gone. I can't see it like I used. I used to could see it so plainly. God led me and I could find so clearly the will of God. It may be that God removes the cloud and puts the cloud behind you. But let me say this, the second thing. First thought is, he was as near as ever. Second thought, there was a purpose in it. Now here's the Israelites heading towards the Red Sea. And behind them is the Egyptian army. Now I wonder what those Israelites are going to do. On one side, the mighty Red Sea. On the other side, the Egyptian army. There was a purpose in it. They couldn't tell just what the purpose was. God lifted that cloud from before them and brought that cloud into the fire behind them. And that same cloud that gave them light gave darkness to the Egyptians. And the entire Egyptian army was groping in darkness trying to find the Israelites, but they couldn't find them. There was a purpose in it. Let me tell you something. If you're in the will of God this morning and you have cancer, there's a purpose in it. If you're in the will of God this morning and you had a car wreck and you're laid up, there's a purpose in it. Now, if you're in the will of God, one of our little ladies yesterday told me she's going to go to the hospital, Mayo Clinic, to have surgery, and she's apprehensive. There's a chance she'll never walk again, and she's apprehensive about it. But let me tell you something. If a Christian stays in the will of God and gives his life to the will of God, God makes no mistake. Now, they didn't know it then. It looked like for a while it was dark in the front of them. They had no light, they had no fire, they had no cloud. But God had lifted that cloud from the front to the back for a purpose. And there's a purpose. We don't see all the purposes now. I can recall when I was a kid, my mother used to say to me, son, you come straight home from school. I never could understand what's wrong. I mean, we're not playing around some. coming from school. I always thought it was okay. I stopped and played. One day, however, mother said, "You can't play home! Don't you play around!" And I couldn't understand that. But I understood it a little later. Because one day, again, a kid and I saw a pecan orchard, mixed pecan trees mixed with some fruit trees. And those pecans looked so good. And some boys said, "Why don't we get some pecans?" And I said, "Well, we can't reach them. There's a fence around it, and the sign says folks to keep out." And the boy said, "Well, I'll give a stick, and if you'll let me call over the fence." He said, "I'll get us some pecans, and I'll get us some fruit." And he said, "Why don't you go with me?" "Oh," I said, "well, I...
Well, they said they got more pecans and fruit than they can eat. Wouldn't be anything wrong with it."
Well, I...
"Oh, come on, Jack!"
Okay, I will. Mom, do you remember that? And it's now Ann Arbor and Fernwood. And so we didn't get that far inside the tent. And we got a few pecans. And here came an old lady that didn't look with very much favor on what we were doing. And she said, "Hey, you young brother! Hey, you young brother!" I said, "Man, let's get out of here." But I couldn't climb the fence. I was too little to climb the fence by myself. He'd got me up with the stick. I couldn't climb the fence. And all of the guys got away except me and one fella. And she said,
"There!"
I said, "There." She called the cops. The cops came out. I thought, would it be Alcatraz? Or Sing Sing? Or San Quentin? What would it be? And the cops came. The truth is, they laughed at the old lady and said, "Let the boys have some pecans and fruit." And I said, "Amen. And, I went home that day, and my mother said to me, Mother said,
"What are you so late for?"
And I said, "Well, I
what are you so late for?"
I'm telling.
"Sir, why are you late?"
And I said, "Mama, I've been with the police." She said, "Please? What'd you do?" So I stole some fruit. Stole some nuts. You didn't know I had a police record. The deacons didn't ask me this when they called me, you know, as a pastor. And I was hoping they wouldn't. But, and my mother said to me, "Son, now that's the reason he should come straight home from school." And all of a sudden it became so clear. The dear Lord sometimes lets us go through times. It seems like the light is taken from the front to the back. And we said, "Lord, why?" We don't always know now. Sometimes we have to wait a while to find out. And then it seems that sometimes we'll never know in this life. But when we get to heaven and face the Lord himself, that he wanted the cloud was removed. And so the Israelites said, "We're headed toward the Red Sea in the back behind them where the Egyptian army. What shall we do? We've had the light all this time. We've had the cloud all this time. If we ever needed that pillar of fire by night, it's now. And now it's gone. What shall we do?" The Lord had a purpose in it. The Lord was blinding the Egyptian armies so they could not pursue. But there's a third thought, and that is this. The Lord didn't, it says the Lord stood behind them. Didn't say the Lord went behind them. He stood behind them. The Lord wasn't going to go very far.
Didn't say he kept on going.
No. When the cloud goes far away, it keeps on moving. When the cloud gets behind them, it stands behind them. The Lord didn't get away from them. He stood there. I think the Lord was simply saying to them sometimes, "I've got to hide from you." Used to when I was a kid. Mother and I used to go to town. That was the biggest day in the week. We go downtown. Downtown, we called it Dallas. It's Dallas, Texas. We called it Dallas. You know, that's the way you pronounce Dallas. It's Dallas. And we go downtown Dallas, ride the streetcar. Anybody here ride streetcars? Ride a streetcar downtown Dallas. It's one of those things that you can drive either end. You get to the end of the track, you just go back, take a knob off here, and go back. And you go the other way. And just pull the seats, turn the seats over, and we go downtown in the streetcar. And oh, I can still see Grand and Silver's at 5 and 10 cent store. They had the best malted milks in the world. For a nickel, you get a malted milk. That same thing costs you 35 cents right now. But a nickel, a malted milk. And I said, "Mama, they're having malted milk." And she said, "Son, we don't have enough money." So I just hang around a malted milk place. And then I smell that candy. There's nothing smells as good as candy in a 5 and 10 store. Nothing in the whole world. Unless it's the buttered popcorn as you come in. The First Baptist Church in Hammond. But Mother said, "My son, you stay close to me." And I'd wander away. I'd want to smell that popcorn. And I'd want to smell that candy. So all I ever got to do was smell it. And Mother'd say, "Son, stay close to me." And I realized I was lost.
I'd say, Mommy!
Well, there were 1,000 mommies in the department store, I guess. And everybody came. I gathered a crowd around me. And but my mother said, son, stay close to me. And I could recall what she would do if I'd get away from her. The time would come that my mother would run from me and hide from me. And I'd say, Mommy! 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 And there was no mommy. She was hiding from me, little stinker. And she was hiding. And then after, several minutes had passed. I didn't know she still had her eye on me. I didn't know that. Several minutes had passed. And my mother, who was watching all the time, but I didn't know she was watching all the time. Maybe she was following me from the back. And my mother would say, son, I'd go, Mommy. And I'd run and jump in her arms, and she'd hug me, and I'd say, Mommy, I was so scared. I thought you were gone. And she'd say, son, I was watching you all the time. All the time. I just had to scare you a little bit for getting away from you. You know, the dear Lord looks down sometimes, and he says, now stay close to me, and we won't do it. The Lord says, stay close to me, and we won't do it. And the Lord spanks us on the hand, and we still won't stay close. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to hide behind you for a while. And you say, Lord, where are you? His eyes on you all the time. He just wants you to stay close to him, that's all. I'm talking to someone this morning, oh, the heartaches in a room like this. Oh, the heartaches of people who can't face tomorrow. I know at least that many people here in this service that if Jesus would come this afternoon, oh, what a joy. And if during the night, I know that many people, if God would take them home, I mean, let them die in their sleep tonight, that they're so pleased and so happy. Oh, they wake up in the morning and the cancer is still there. Or the pain of the chest is still there. Or the wayward son is still gone. Or the daughter who's joined the communal, the hippie crowd, is still gone. Or the financial burden is still there. And you seem like you can't see, Lord, where are you? Where are you? And the Lord simply says, I'm watching you all the time. God knows every pain. God knows every burden. He knows every heartache. He's the rear guard. But now, wait a minute. The fourth thought is this. They could see him by looking back. Here they are marching toward the land of promise, and suddenly the cloud is gone. Where's the cloud? Suddenly the pillar of fire is gone. Where's the fire? And all of a sudden they think they're forsaken by God. I woke up and I said to the Jews, look back, and you can see it. Listen to me. There are times I can't see God from the front, but when I look back, I can see him. You know, this building program is, and I'm not complaining, but it's a rather heavy burden and a heavy load to carry. And we've got to sell these notes, and we've got to get our folks to transfer. And we have, let's see, today's burden. We have 17 days to do it. If we don't do it, 17 days we can't do it. And this week has been a week of prayer, and much pleading with God, and so forth. And you know what I've done this week? It's sort of a little hard for me to see right now in the future. And so I've been looking back. And as I've looked back, I see what God has done in the past. And then I take courage that God will do it again in the future. I look back. You know, when you get to the place where you can't see anything but darkness, the pillar of cloud is gone. Look back! The glory is back there. And so sometimes we have to look back and see what God has done in the past. And my ministry, oh, my ministry. When I look back and see all that God has done, I take faith what God's going to do in the future. Time and time again, I face the wall. Time and time again. I mean, it just seems like when the light is the brightest, the cloud is the most visible, and the air is the thinnest, and the clouds are lifted, and the one cloud is so visible, and at night time, the light lights the sky, and you know exactly what you ought to do. It just seems like all of a sudden, sometimes, the cloud is lifted, and you're in the darkness, and you look toward the future, and you say, oh, what does the future hold? And the Lord says, the cloud's in the background. And you look back and you see what God did yesterday and in yesteryear and how God blessed in the past. And then you say, praise the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of the future just like he took care of the past. Let me say this morning. Have a burden, a heartache, a problem, a sorrow, a need? You think you can't see your hand in front of you? There's nothing but dark darkness, and that way that was once so visible and so plain, all of a sudden you can't see anymore. Look back and see what God has done in days gone by. Look back at the time when you came to the Red Sea before, And there was the parting of the Red Sea. And so the Lord said, if you look back, you can see. But wait a minute. The fifth thought is this. Sometimes if we could see, we wouldn't go. You know what it is? I think the Lord took that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. If they'd have seen what was in front of them, they wouldn't have gone. Why, you take those shoes, look at that big old wide Red Sea. You think they'd have gone to that Red Sea if they could have seen it? Huh? It's sort of like Bill Ryan says about Moses. The Lord said, Moses, what you got in your hand? Moses couldn't talk plain. He had an impediment of speech. And he said, I got a rod. The rod. Not the rod. He said, throw it on the ground. Okay, I'll put it on the ground. You say, throw it on the ground. I'll put it on the ground. Don't be so loud. I'll do what you say. He throws it on the ground. What is it now? Snake. This snake starts wheeling across the ground. Is it today? Today. He said, reach out and take it out. What's to say? Take it out. Lord, he said, I'm sad. I never took off talk their pain, but now I bet the Lord can't hear very good either. And ask you a question. You ever come to a place in your life where you wanted to, you didn't know what to do, and you saw what was ahead of you? You know, I'm glad I don't know what's ahead of me. The other night I was driving over to see Mother. A few minutes. Turned on to the JOB, forgive me, Roy. I heard this talk program for a few minutes, and it had some quack on there that tells the future. Some gal that you call in and say, look, what does the year hold for me? And, of course, they give the usual stuff. I see some good and some bad. Women can see some good and some bad. I see that if you don't get enough rest, you'll get tired. Brother, if she could tell the future, I wouldn't want to call her. Not me. I don't want to know. And sometimes the Lord, sometimes the future is a battle. Listen, I thought this week, if the Lord had told me on December 31st, 29 years ago, 1944, when I started preaching, if he had told me what I was going to say right now, I'd have said, find yourself another fellow. But sometimes I've grafted God a little bit about that. Why did you tell me it's like this? The Lord sometimes takes the cloud so you can't see it. For the help of so many times in the Christian life, especially for a preacher. The Lord doesn't lay out yonder. Well, listen, some of you folks, if the Lord had told you when you got saved all the stuff you'd finally have to give up, you'd never have done it. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Bill Smith, got saved. And he and his wife had gin lines and brought the lines over to eat. And Bill was up about midnight on Saturday night eating potatoes. And on Saturday night, he looked over at his wife and he began to laugh. And she said, what's wrong, Bill? And he said, if anybody ever told me a few weeks ago when I was out in the sand, I'd be... On Saturday night, I'd be peeling potatoes for a preacher. I'd get it from the mouth. I'd probably get it from the mouth. No, life is that way. We don't know what the future holds. And the Lord said, there's a Red Sea out there. And if I keep that light on the Red Sea, the Jews won't go forward. I'm going to take the light and put it back in the back. I'm going to blind the Egyptian army from the back. I'm going to let the Israelites not see the Red Sea. I'm going to say, go on, go on, forward. And the Israelites are going forward because they won't see what's before them. And sometimes the Lord does that. The Lord says, I'm not going to show you what's ahead of you. And he lifts the light, and he puts the light back in the back. I hasten to say this. This is the sixth thing. And that is, the Lord told Israelites, if you can't see where to go, go forward. By the way, that's a good idea. In football, they say, if you don't know what to do, kick it. Punt. If you don't know what to do, punt. And in the Christian life, if you don't know what to do, go forward. Just keep on going forward. But you said the cloud's gone. So keep on going forward. But you say, I can't see the pillar of fire. Keep on going forward. But you say, I can't see clearly what God wants me. Listen, if you can't see clearly what God wants you to do, don't you change courses. People say, I just undecided right now. Then you keep on going the same course you're going now. If God led you where you are, and if there's no visible change in the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire, then don't you dare move unless you see a pillar of cloud beating you. If the darkness is there, you just keep on doing what you're doing now and going forward. Now listen to me. I don't know about you, But I'd rather drown in the Red Sea than lose to the Egyptian army. Let me say something. Rather than not go forward, I'd rather drown.
I'd rather drown than quit. I'd rather drown than turn back.
Listen, I hate the word quit. I hate the word quit worse than I hate any word in the English language. I've told you before, I'll tell you again. I've got a Webster's intercollegiate or collegiate or postgraduate, some kind of dictionary on my bed. Every time I get a dictionary, I get a pair of scissors. I turn to the word quit and I cut it out. It's not in there. I will not have the word quit on my desk. I won't do it. I got a pair of scissors. I cut out the word quit. I cut out whatever's behind it too. It may be go, I don't know, but I cut out the word quit. It's not there. I hate it. I hate it. And there's any person I don't like to be around, it's a quitter.
I said to the students at the college, I said again, if you decide to quit college and go home and turn back, don't you come and tell me goodbye. I'm sorry. I love you, but I don't want to see you. You'll ruin my day, and I'll vomit all over you. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to see you. I don't have any use for a quitter. I can't stand a quitter. I don't like to be around a quitter. I don't like to talk to a quitter. Does anybody ever shake your hand and not shake, and you want to, you know, you walk out and you grab it, and they go, you want to throw it back in the, like a dead fish, or throw it back in. Is anything that makes you like a shovel on concrete? Does that do something to you? I mean, here, I can get a shovel on concrete. Some chalkboards affect me that way. I was writing on a board for a while the other day, and I had a piece of chalk, and I was writing on a chalkboard. And every time I'd write, and I'd write a word and then rest a while. And write, and the quitter affects me the same way. I love you, but I won't love you at a distance. I love you, but I won't look at you. I love you, but I haven't got time for you. Don't quit!
Oh, yes. And I don't like the weather up here. Oh, you idiot, you. Who does? Everybody in this building that likes the weather here, we're to walk out of this building right now, Ray Bordway would be singing a solo and I'll Walk Alone. Oh, good night in the morning. What's wrong?
Why does somebody, and I got some folks never say a word about quitting. Never. I've got folks on my staff. Never, 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 never. Never one word.
I've got other folks about once every 6 months I get a resignation letter from me. I go pump them up a little bit. But God never used you much. So God won't use you much. God uses people that when the cloud is out there and the pillar of fire is there, you follow and you follow and you go forward. When God somehow pulls that pillar of cloud and puts it behind you and you grow in the darkness and you say, where is the cloud and where is the fire? I don't see it so plain anymore. But keep on going forward. Keep on going forward. But you say, I'm sure that the Jews could have said, I just don't feel led to go forward. Is there a sea there? He marched toward the sea, and God will take care of the sea. Some of the Lord has that this. Don't look at you. God didn't want to look at their enemies. God put the cloud between them and the enemies. God knew that if the Jews had turned around and looked at those Egyptian armies pursuing that had dropped over, he feared. Had a football halfback one time. He weighed about 140 pounds, played with a big football team. He looked at me one day and he said, you know what I do to get myself psyched up for a game? I said, what? He said, when I'm down there, when you waited for the ball to come, when I was a kid, you did like this. You played single wing. Two or three quarter stands too. He said, I never look at the opposing line. Never do. So I look at those 206-pound giants trying to massacre me. Please, I take the ball and take off that way. Now, I can't see where they go anyhow. So I was talking about running the daylight. There's a lot of daylight back there. He said, I'd run that way. He said, I always look at my own line. And I say, those fellows are going to protect me. Always look at them. Don't look at the enemy, brother. Listen, if I took 15 minutes to look at all the enemies I've got, I'd quit the ministry. No, I don't look at the enemies. I look at the promises. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God, supply all your needs according to riches and glory. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Although I'm with you always, even to the end of the way. I look at my team and take courage. I look at the enemy. And God said, I will lift the cloud and put a cloud between you and the Egyptians so you won't see your enemy. But there's something else, and that is God is keeping the enemy from seeing you too. God's protecting the Israelites from the enemy.
There's a nation that has set themselves and bid themselves to kill the whole Jewish nation. And God says, hey, cloud!
Hey, cloud! Hey, cloud!
Get out of here! Hey, go back here!
I don't want the Egyptians to see my people. Listen, years ago when I was a kid preacher and fought my first battle for God, I opened my Bible to Isaiah 54:17. What a scripture, what a scripture, what a scripture. What a scripture. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. It says, this is the heritage of those that serve the Lord. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. How many times have I got on my knees and gotten that scripture when I couldn't see my hand in front of me? And people had set themselves to destroy my ministry and destroy. And the battles came, and the burdens came, and the night time was the dark. You couldn't see the cloud, or you couldn't see the fire in front. And I've opened my Bible, and I've claimed it, and I've placed my hand 10,000 times, I know, on Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Egyptians, you haven't got a chance!
Because that little cloud's going to go back between you and Israelites. But I'll say this, and I'm about finished, and that is, soon it came to the front again. They crossed the Red Sea. It was dark. And as the darkness settled, here was the cloud back here, and the Egyptians behind the cloud. The Lord said, go forward. And they crossed on dry ground. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I know how I'd have felt. Here I am walking through the Red Sea at night. Where's the water? Bear in mind, it's open or cloud by day. By night, fire by night and cloud by day. Where's the water? It's dark as pitch, and they start through the Red Sea. When are we going to get to the water? When are we going to get to the water? But it says the water is on either side of us. It's dry here. And I expect I looked up and I said, boy, how long are you planning on holding there? Boy, I'd have run like a jackrabbit in a Texas rainstorm, I'll tell you for sure. But they got on the other side of the Red Sea, and the night was over, and the battle was over, and the Egyptian armies were drowned. And the Lord said, okay, hey cloud, go back in front now. Don't you imagine they were handy? Oh, the cloud's in front of us again, and now it's plain and easy to see. We're on the mountaintop again. There's a pillar of fire by day, a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day, and there's the shade in the oriental sun, and there's the air conditioner from heaven, and there's the warmth at night, and the pillar of cloud, fire by night, and there's the light, the sea, goes by night, it's fire again, it's fire again! I'm going to tell you something. If you just keep on going forward, when the darkness is there and the clouds behind you, I'll bind you one thing. That light will come back again someday. That light will come back again someday. And it was bright again. It was bright again. Oh, listen to me. A person who lives in the will of God. You said, preacher, did you ever want to quit? Sure. I recall Dr. Bob Jones came here and said so many times. Somebody said, did you ever think about divorcing your wife? He said, no, never did. And he said, I thought about choking her a lot, but never thought about divorcing her. Now, I never have quit. You ever take a night? Yeah, I thought about quitting. Sure, I thought about quitting. I really have. But I've never gotten the place where I said I quit. Never. I'll tell you why. For 28 years I've been serving him. For 28 blessed, wonderful years, I've been following that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And most of the time it's so clear, so plain what I ought to do. I recall when I came to Hammond, it was so clear and plain. God spoke to my, I didn't want to come, but God spoke to my heart. The pillar of cloud was there. The pillar of fire was there. I knew what God wanted to do. God, it wasn't long after I'd come, a few months passed, and I couldn't see the cloud. And I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know which way to go. And the fire and the cloud had been lifted. And I faced the darkness. And I said, Lord, I'd love to go back to Texas. Eight churches have asked me to come back. I'd love to go back. But I couldn't. I would never have done, undone in doubt what I had done in faith. I would never 1 minute have followed a pillar, listen, follow a pillar of cloud to a place and go back into darkness. Never, 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 never. No. Never follow a pillar someplace and go back in the darkness. And the darkness was there. I can recall walking into the pulpit. I heard say this pulpit. Did you know this pulpit is not the same pulpit as another building, but it's built in the same dimensions exactly. And if you know the next building, we're going to have it's going to be a white pulpit, but do you know that the dimensions are going to be exactly like this one? I like to preach behind the same pulpit all the time, same size. Time and time again, I've walked in that pulpit over there, afraid to walk in, afraid to walk in. There have been times when I've preached like this in that pulpit over there. I mean it. Preached like this, trying to cover my chest so a bullet couldn't pierce my heart. You may not think that's funny, but my life was threatened almost every week when I back down to 13, 14 years ago. There are times when I walked in the pulpit, didn't expect to go out alive, really. I couldn't see my hand in front of me. Oh, but blessed be God. We just kept on going. We just kept on going. And the Lord parted the waters. We walked over on dry ground. And now, you know, the Lord has led us these years with a pillar of cloud again. It's in the front today. It's in the front. Maybe this morning the pillar of cloud's been moved for you. Maybe you don't know where it is. God's still there. He's still there. He might be fighting a battle for you from the rear. He might be wanting you to get closer to Him. He might wish to withhold His presence for a while, but He's still there. You just trust Him, and you believe Him, and you just keep on going for God, never turning back, never turn to right, never turn to left. But you say, preacher, it's hard! Life is made up of hard things. Nobody ever did anything for God that gave up and quit. Nobody did anything for God that turned back. God wants people who go forward when they can see the cloud and to go forward when they can. God wants people who never change unless the cloud changes, unless the fire changes. This morning, are you facing a difficult burden? Some of you college students can't pay your bills. You wonder how you're going to make ends meet. Some of you dear men facing losing your jobs. In this terrible day we face, I get calls every morning on the broadcast. Please pray. I'm having tests made. I'm having tests made. I got a little note this morning. A man went to the hospital. Found out he had cancer of the lung. Eaten through one of his lungs. I'm sure this morning he says, where's the cloud? Where's the cloud? Where's the cloud? I can't see the airport. John Colton left the hospital, blind to Jesus. He'll see a cloud, and he'll see the brightness again very soon. Very soon. Just keep on going for God. Don't quit. She said, I've got a Red Sea in front of me. God has parted Red Seas before. Got any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows a thousand ways to make a way for you. That's what the Bible means when it says your re-reward. The word re-reward means rear guard. Rear guard. He goes before us, but He also goes behind us. He is our rear guard. Let us pray together, please.